Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Jess Armine here at the BioIndividualized Medical Center in southeastern Pennsylvania. We have a very exciting show for you tonight, and we have a very special guest. We're going to be talking about LDN, or low-dose naltrexone, which is being used for the treatment of chronic illnesses. Okay, we have the honor of speaking with Linda Elsiegood. Hope I pronounced that right. And she is the leader in the movement to educate patients and doctors about LDN. And if you read about her, and she'll tell you her story and what she's been doing, you'll realize that she is the epitome of the tireless individual, the indefatigable individual that is required to get this type of information out to people. Please understand that this particular interview is being pre-recorded. So there won't be any opportunity for live Q&A, but Linda tells me that we'll have a methodology of asking questions or getting more information that she'll cue you in towards the end of the lecture. So welcome, Linda. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for inviting me.
It is our honor. So please, tell us your story.
Okay. My life was okay. I was working full time. I had two children, so I ran the home, sort of all the cooking, the cleaning, the gardening, the decorating, working. I was Wonder Woman. I thought I could do anything. I was a bank manager at the time. And as I say, life was fine. I was healthy, which I took for granted. And one day I came home from work and my father phoned. Now, my father never ever phoned. He didn't like the phone. And he said, "Your mother's had a heart attack. She's now going in the ambulance." And I literally just got in. I'd taken my coat off. I put my coat back on to get to the hospital. My father was in a wheelchair and the ambulance people wouldn't take him with my mother because he had to have somebody to look after him when he got there. So I said, "Well, tell them to take you. I will be on my way." And this was Christmas 2000. And it was icy. It had been snowing. The roads were terrible. It would normally have taken me about an hour and a half to drive there, but it took a good 2 hours. Now, my mother had some medication to keep her alive. It was a very major heart attack. And I sat beside her bed. I'm an only child. My husband came and took my father home because they wouldn't let him stay overnight in case there was a fire or whatever. But I had it in my mind that if I held my mother's hand and sat with her, she would be fine. If I went to sleep, she would go to sleep and that would be it. So I kept myself awake for 48 hours, which is rather silly, but it did make sense to me at the time. And my mother came home. She had to have somebody look after her, so I had both my parents here with me. I was had to go back to work. A friend of mine was a nurse and she came and helped look after my parents, and I was tired. I was so unbelievably tired. And then I started to get ill. Different things were happening to me. My leg became numb. I had this awful fatigue. I didn't really have energy to do anything. So what happened then? I said to my husband, "I'm just having this. I had flu. I had gastroenteritis. I was just sick, sick, sick. I want to go away. I want to go away, have a vacation, come back, and I'll feel fine." He couldn't come. He was working. So I took my youngest daughter. And while we were on holiday, we went to Portugal, and it should have been hot. It was Easter time. but it was freezing cold and it was raining, so we decided to either stay in or walk out in the rain. So we went in the rain. And the left-hand side of my face was numb, as if I'd had a filling. And I couldn't understand why I had this numbness on my face. And the left-hand side of my tongue felt as though I'd eaten cheese and it had melted and burnt my tongue. So we managed, and luckily we were only away for a week. And when I came back, I went to see my neurologist saw a neurologist who then became my neurologist, who said he thought I had had a mild stroke, that I had a foreign disease of some kind, or I'd got MS. I didn't really like any of those options. I would have liked something
I don't blame you.
a brain tumor. That was the other thing, tumor.
That's even better.
Yeah, I just wanted something where he could say, you know, here's a pill, go home, and you're going to be fine. So it went on, and I was just so tired. I couldn't cope with working 5 days a week. So I went part-time. Only worked 4 days a week, but that didn't make any difference. And then I got double vision. I lost my hearing in my left ear, and at which point I could not move. So I had to give in. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't move. And I had an MRI, a lumbar puncture, and was told it was MS. I had a 3-day course of intravenous steroids, and 6 weeks later I was given another course of intravenous steroids because they thought I was going to lose my hearing and my eyesight completely, which made me put on so much weight. I'm a pale person and my face was like a red beach ball. It was it was unbelievable. I didn't look like myself. But the second course of steroids didn't work. But at that time, I was so ill. When I say ill, I was on the toilet the whole time. I didn't have any bladder control. My bowels, I know it's not the done thing to talk about one's bowels, but to explain.
Okay. We talk about poop all the time. It's like a major subject all the time.
Yeah, it was like sneezing. You know how you feel a sneeze coming and you go, chew? But it was like that from my bowels.
Ooh,
and there was no control at all. It would be a case of it's going to happen and boom, it would happen. So you don't want to leave the house until that happens, because it happened every day, but never at the same time, which would have been more convenient. But I had no balance. I had to furniture walk. People with MS will know what I mean by furniture walking. But I would trip. I would stumble over nothing. I had very bad vertigo, so if I turned my head too quickly, everything would spin, and my legs became as though they were rubber bands, so I used to bounce a lot. So trying to move, I ended up on the floor most of the time through one reason or another. But the left-hand side, this numbness on my face and my tongue spread, and after a few weeks, you could draw a line right down my face, half my nose, my tongue, my cheek, my chest. The whole left-hand side was numb with pins and needles, but numb in a way that any clothing or bedding that touched was really, really painful. And on top of that, I had twitching muscles and I had burning limbs, like you had sunburn and they used to be on fire. And I used to say to my husband, feel my legs, they're on fire. I don't want to feel your legs. Oh, please, please just feel my legs. Oh, they are so hot.
That's a husband.
I know.
When you're
want to feel your legs.
When you're dating, they want to feel your legs, but after you're married, forget about
them. So he would feel my legs and say, "What are you talking about? Your legs are cold." But to me, they were, you know, they were on fire. So, and then cognitively, oh my goodness, English became my second language. I couldn't recall vocabulary. Everything was foggy. I would say, could you make me a cup of tea? I never ever drink tea. I only drink coffee. So my husband would say, well, don't you mean coffee? And I'd say, well, didn't I say coffee? No. Well, can you let the cat out? He wants to go to the toilet. Don't you mean the dog? Well, didn't I say dog? Why do you have to you know, you're depressing me. Please don't keep correcting me. I think I'm saying it right, and it's really depressing. So he would say to me, I'm telling you so you'll know for next time. Well, no, it doesn't work like that, because I think I'm saying it correctly anyway. You know, next time I could call the dog a duck and still think I'd called it a dog. I mean, but it was depressing. So every time I spoke,
sure,
he was correcting me. And then I started to get where I was choking on my food. So every time I swallowed something, he'd come and hit me on the back, and it didn't really help either. And the only way I could speak to try and make sense, because everything was so muddled in my head, I had to speak slowly. So I sounded as though I'd had a stroke, because it was such a struggle. It was so tiring to try and get together the information to make a sentence, which to me made sense, but it didn't to other people. And then I couldn't find my mouth. Simple thing. My daughter used to have to put the cup to my mouth because I couldn't find where my mouth was. Only saving grace was I slept most of the time. I was asleep about 20 hours a day. I was only awake for like 4 hours, which was marvellous, because I didn't feel anything while I was asleep. But and I also had pains in my head, really bad pains. Mm. And I do believe the doctors thought I was making it up. It used to be a pain the size of the top of a wine glass. Sometimes it would be at the front right, sometimes the back left. It would move, but the pain was so intense. It used to make me feel nauseous.
Wow.
So nauseous. I was given some very strong painkillers, which made the pain bearable. It didn't remove it. It made it bearable. But the nausea was even worse. It was really bad. And I had optic neuritis, where I felt as though somebody had, you know, stuck a pencil in my eye to move my eyeball up, down, left or right. Really, really painful.
Mm-mm.
And I was in a wheelchair. I could, as I say, furniture walk in the house and falling over. But outside of the house, I had to use a wheelchair. And at this point, we're going... moving forward now, it was October 2003, and I went to see my neurologist, and he examined me. He sat down, he looked at me, he leant across the desk, held his hand out, shook hands with me and said, I'm really sorry to tell you, you're secondary progressive now. Got up, opened the door and said, there's nothing more we can do for you, and showed me out.
Oh, I'm surprised they didn't use a catapult.
It was awful.
I bet it was.
Sat in the car, and I said to my husband, he may as well have said, go home and die quietly. Don't make a fuss. You're an embarrassment. You know, there was no plan B. There was nothing anybody could do to help me. It was awful. I felt totally alone, frightened, because I couldn't live my life like that. One day the doctor came out to see me and bought me some more painkillers. I was in the house on my own, and the doctor very kindly went and fetched me a glass of water, and he left. My neighbour was keeping his eye on me.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was working. And I thought the thing that really got to me was the look in everybody's eyes, family and friends. They all felt helpless. They all wanted to help me. And there was nothing that anyone could do. And to see that in their eyes was awful.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Take a deep breath.
So,
It's a tough story. I understand. Mm.
So I'd got the tablets, and I thought that my family would understand if I took them. They would know why. And at least that way, everybody, once they got over the shock, could be able to get their lives back, rather than me just lying there, the days passing without me participating. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't achieve anything. Anything I wanted to do, I couldn't do. I felt a complete and utter failure.
Okay, take a breath, kid. Relax. Okay. We really appreciate you sharing your story with us because I know how much this hurts.
And then I luckily managed to think who was going to find me. And it would have been my 15-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And I couldn't do that to her.
I don't understand.
So the only option was to fight it, to do something that I could actually live again. So, in between my many toilet visits, I used to sit on the computer. I thought there must be other people out there. I couldn't be so unique that I was the only one who ever felt like this. And I found LDN, and I found some people that were taking it. And luckily, some of these people were willing to talk to me, and everybody said the same, that if it wasn't going to do me any good, it wasn't going to do me any harm. I printed out all the information I had and went to see my own doctor, who had retired. By then I had a nice new young lady doctor who was very kind and understanding, and she said she was going to give the information to the partners and would I go back in 2 weeks. I went back and she said she wasn't able to prescribe it for me, but if it was her, she would like to try it, so if I could find somebody who would prescribe it for me, she would be happy to monitor me. Now, I found a doctor who would prescribe it for me, and amazingly, in 3 weeks, this awful feeling of having fog in my head where I couldn't think, like living in a television set that wasn't tuned in, all that came back in 3 weeks, and it was just amazing. I could think again, and being able to think clearly was such a big deal. I wasn't talking rubbish anymore.
So you were speaking coherently?
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. But my husband still says I talk rubbish.
Oh, that's because he's your husband. That's the same thing goes with the legs and everything. You know?
Exactly.
Tell him we know what's going on. It's true, you know.
Yeah, but it was 3 weeks, and that was totally amazing. Now, my daughter, when she was 15, she spent the whole of the summer holiday looking after me, washing me, feeding me, washing my hair. It was role reversal, you know. Put your head back, close your eyes, you'll be getting soap. You'll
never argue with a daughter that loves you. Never argue with it.
And guess what she is now? She's a nurse.
Oh, boy, that's a surprise.
Yeah. She's a nurse. Yeah. And she worked on a stroke unit for 18 months, and now she's training to be a nurse practitioner.
Wonderful.
So, but she was very good at looking after me. But I gradually got my balance back. Now, if you think I'd been years of not being able to carry anything because of the furniture walking and the falling over, I was on the floor. I mean, carrying a glass with anything in it would have just been too dangerous. And one day she said to me, "Could you get me a glass of orange juice?" And I thought, I haven't fallen over for a while. I think I can do this. So it was all in slow motion, going to the cupboard, getting the glass out, putting it down, opening the fridge, pouring the orange juice in, taking it to her. I didn't fill it right up in case I spilt it. But anyway, I took it to her and I came back and I said to my husband, "I've just taken Laura a glass of orange juice and I didn't spill it." You know, it was, to me, that was the first really, really big thing that I'd done. I'd achieved something, you know, it was such a big deal.
That is beyond a big deal.
Yeah, she didn't know how cognitively I thought I was suffering from some form of Alzheimer's. I thought everything was going to go, you know, the only thing I'd got left was my memory. And that was slipping away from me. And that was my biggest fear, that I was just going to lose myself completely. Mm-hmm. She came in with the empty glass and put it on the countertop and said, "It was very kind of you to bring me a glass, Mum, but you didn't put any orange in it." Now, because my state of mind had been so bad, I believed her and not myself. I thought I had imagined putting that orange in there, and I just burst into tears, thinking, "Well, that's it, you know, I've really lost it." And she was saying, "No.
Was it a
it's
joke?
It's a joke, yeah.
It's a joke, Mum.
And that really backfired on her. But now if she tried that, I would know.
Oh, gosh, that's beautiful.
Honestly, I believed her and not myself.
Well, you had good reason to, and she had good reason to play with you a little bit and make you giggle. That's great.
Yeah. So I had two choices then. LDN just, it was getting better and better, and I carried on improving for 18 months. What was I going to do after being told there was nothing more that could do for me and life wasn't worth living, and suddenly it was again? Did I say, "I'm okay, aren't I the lucky one?" Or do I tell other people who have been told there's nothing more that can do for you, who are in that really deep, dark place, who perhaps didn't have the strength to carry on like I did? So I decided I wanted to tell everybody, you know, that it's not a miracle drug, it's not a cure, it doesn't help everybody, but it's something that you could try. So it took 5 months, and in actual fact, last week, the LDN Research Trust was established 10 years ago. So that was a big milestone. And we've helped over 14,000 people around the world get LDN. LDN can work for any condition that has an autoimmune component. And so far, there's 174 conditions that we know of that people have tried LDN for.
Let's go back a little bit if we could.
We can. And
would you explain to our audience what exactly low-dose naltrexone is?
Okay. Naltrexone in its full strength was used for heroin and drug addiction back in the late 70s, early 80s. But used in low doses, it helps, according to Dr. Ian Zagon, who did lots of studies of LDN back in the late 70s, early 80s, it helps regulate a dysfunctional immune system. And Dr. Bernard Bahari was using it in his practice for AIDS, and a friend of his had got a daughter who had got MS, and he decided that he would try it on this young lady. And it worked very well. And she was on it for many years. She did actually stop after a while, thinking that she'd been misdiagnosed and her MS wasn't really MS after all. And when she stopped, she relapsed. Yeah. But Dr. Bahari had been using LDN for many conditions, cancer too. But that's the problem with LDN. When you say it can be used for all these different conditions, it loses some credibility because it sounds like it's too good to be true.
It sounds like a panacea, and anything that's considered a panacea has veracity problems.
Yes, exactly. But naltrexone, when it was trialed in its full strength and people were taking it 50 milligram tablets 3 times a day, so that was 150 milligrams, that was found safe. It was only harmful to the liver in doses of 300 milligrams a day. And with LDN, which stands for low-dose naltrexone, people normally take around 3 milligrams or 4.5. So it's a very low dose.
In your opinion, and, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to hold you to this because, you know, I realized that in the research that I did for our talk here that nobody really knows the exact mechanism on how this works. But in your opinion, what do you think it's doing?
Okay. it helps boost endorphins, and it also helps with the toll-like receptors. So there's two different mechanisms there, and there are many YouTube videos from LDN prescribing doctors and scientists explaining how they think that LDN works. But people who start on LDN start on a very low dose, usually around about 1.5 milligrams, and titrate it up by 0.5 every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This is changed. Before 2005, people were starting on 3 milligrams. 3 milligrams was too high for some people, was always going to be too high, so people were dropping out. But by starting on a lower dose and increasing it gradually, that fallout rate has really dropped. And there are different forms in which you can have LDN now. Initially, it was just capsules. But some people had problems with their stomach. They could get very bad nausea and diarrhea, especially people with Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. So there is now the capsules. We have a liquid, and there's some sublingual drops, which is relatively new. I think the first was about August last year, and that's absorbed differently, which bypasses the stomach. So for those people that had problems with stomach issues, that's now no longer a problem. Years ago, it was told you could only take it at night because that's when your body makes more endorphins. But so many doctors have found that it did cause sleep issues with some people, and they tell their patients to try it in the morning, and they still get very good benefits. But full studies and trials are needed to find out further information on LDN. And it isn't weight related, because we have many men that can't take 3 milligrams, and these are big men, and you get a very small lady who can take 4.5 milligrams no problem. So we need to know that.
I'm getting the impression that that this can support or be effective in a myriad of autoimmune conditions.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience in talking to people, and again, I know we have our limitations of what we can talk about, only because we have to be careful about the men in black going to show up at our doors. Okay, but in raising awareness about LDN, people are still very diagnostically oriented, like, I have X, what can you do for it? Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that, in your experience and what you've seen, you interact with a lot of people, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen? I know it doesn't work with everybody, so now that I've did all those caveats, yep. Okay, mm-hmm. What are the things that you've seen it works best for?
Okay, Crohn's is a really good one. Psoriasis, amazing cases of psoriasis. But with psoriasis, people have to be patient. I mean, there are people who will say that they noticed improvements after the first week. But normally with psoriasis, I would say it takes about 6 months. And you know how angry psoriasis looks, and red and...
Yes.
Scabby. After 6 months, normally it starts to look like skin color, and it then just all fades. It, to me, just is amazing. It's like rubbed out, it's like normal skin. And I had a lady who had alopecia, and she had and the thing, I mean, banking was my thing. I wasn't medical. I had a first aid certificate. That was my whole knowledge of medical conditions. But this lady had alopecia. She also had Crohn's type symptoms. She had arthritic symptoms. She was a mess, and she was a young girl, very, very pretty. And she had a high-powered job, and her consultant said to her when she was saying that, you know, her hair, she was losing it. Initially, she had a little velvety spot that she used to rub that she thought was quite cute, but the velvety spot spread, and slowly all her hair was just falling out. And her consultant said to her that there were some very pretty scarves out there these days. And she was in her early 20s. Yes, she was horrified.
Doctor, and it hurts when I do this. Then don't do it.
Yeah. She lost her eyebrows. She lost her eyelashes. And she said that she lost her whole identity. She'd look in the mirror and she'd gone. You know, she wasn't there.
I understand.
And she thought, similar to myself, that there must be some link here. And she realized everything she had was probably autoimmune. And she found LDN and started it. And slowly her hair came back. Can you believe her hair came back?
I believe anything you tell me, because I've seen miracles happen. I really have.
And she had her hair came back. Black and white, or black and grey, mottled, even though she was young. And people thought she'd had this really expensive colour job done on her hair, and she thought it was quite trendy and left it as it was. It didn't come back the same texture. It was finer, more like baby hair. But she had her hair back.
Almost like after chemotherapy comes back. Like
yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. But she got her hair back, and to her, that was just absolutely mind-blowing. But so, I had a... Sorry.
No. It sounds to me that if you have a chronic illness, especially in the immunological range, okay, the autoimmune or whatever you want to... however you want to put it, mm-hmm. That LDN sounds like it might be worth a try. What are the risk-benefit factors? Are there any risks using LDN?
No, it's... as I say, it was only found harmful, naltrexone, if you took 300 milligrams a day. So it's a safe drug.
Because it's such a low dose.
Yes, yes. It's not toxic. And, it's very inexpensive. People in the States pay around about $26 a month.
Really?
Yeah. It's not an expensive drug, but it's out of patent. So drug companies... are not interested in trialing it because there's no profit. But there is a company set up now called TNI Biotech, and they're planning some trials and studies to get LDN out there. And they have promised that LDN would never be more than a dollar a day.
Wow, that's pretty amazing for anybody in the pharmaceutical industry to even say. Because here in America, the more the better.
Yeah.
The more money they can charge for it, the better.
And we have a new medical advisor called Dr. Pradeep Chopra, and he's from Rhode Island. Amazing man. As I say, he's a pain specialist. He uses LDN. And you can listen to the interviews on the LDN Research Trust YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Very amazing that we've had 132,000 video views
wow.
so far. Yeah, I mean...
You were very...
Sorry?
No. I was saying you were very kind to send me a bunch of links that I'll be putting on my website. Is that link included in there?
It is, or it should be. Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
But he has patients come to him. He's the last in the line. People with fibromyalgia, neuropathy, regional pain syndrome. People that have been on morphine and fentanyl patches, and their pain is still in between a 9 and a 10 every day. These are people that have to live with such bad pain, and there's nothing. And he decided he would say to these patients that he would like them to try LDN if they were willing to give up all their narcotics, because you can't take LDN with a narcotic.
Okay.
And they all said, well, yes, that's fine. I'm probably sure not all of them said that, but the ones that he was talking to me about, yeah, that they weren't working anyway. So he weaned them off, which is quite a complex thing, and nobody should ever stop taking any painkillers without medical supervision.
Agreed.
So he got them off these medications and started them on LDN. And he said to me that they came back, and the feedback he got was that the pain was bearable. It was still there, but it was bearable. Or it had reduced from what it was. You know, it hadn't gone. So he wanted to know whether it was placebo, that he told these people that it was going to work on their pain, whether, you know, it was actually the LDN or mind over matter. So he said to them, okay, you've been on LDN now for this many weeks. I'd like you to stop taking it. And he said, without exception, every single one said, you're not stopping the LDN. It's the only thing that's ever worked for me. And he's done one small pilot study on LDN, which he presented at the LDN conference in Chicago. Amazing. Absolutely amazing that something so minuscule can have a better effect than these people were having with morphine. Absolutely unbelievable. And I had one doctor I met, and unfortunately both him, his wife and daughter had MS, and he wanted them to try LDN, and he was also a diabetic and had neuropathy. He had no feeling in his toes apart from pain. Awful. And he tried LDN, and I think he said in 30 years the pain that he'd had in his feet had virtually gone. It was no problem to him. And that was the first time that I'd actually spoken to somebody, and this was all around about 2008, I think, that people had told me about LDN for pain. Now, for myself, I didn't finish completing my story, did I?
No, please.
The numbness and pins and needles went. The vertigo went. The balance problems went. I had my bowel and bladder control back. Cognitive things cleared. My eyesight. It's not as good as it was, but it's okay. The hearing in my left ear is back probably 75% of the time. And it's amazing. I can achieve things. I know I've got MS. I'm not back to how I used to be. But if I plan things and pace myself, I can do anything. Which is, you know,
which
really
is called
amazing.
Having a life, isn't it?
It is called having a life.
And I am so impressed. I really am. You have tears in my eyes right now.
And I set up the charity in such a way that nobody would ever get paid. So I work without any pay. But my payment is when I've helped somebody get LDN who's found it very difficult, and they've been on it for a while, and they come back and say, thank you so much, I feel like me again, or I feel I've been given a second chance, or I feel I've been given my life back. That is just intoxicating.
It is
amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And if your suffering was to have any meaning, that you've taken that suffering and served your fellow human beings in this particular and very expansive manner. You know, I always tell people, when I meet people like you, I always say that God has a special place roped off in heaven for you guys, you know, because it's true. I know the questions are going to be, excuse me, is this a prescribed drug? Does it need to be prescribed by a medical physician?
Yes, it does. Yes. Okay. It's a prescription-only drug.
Is there a listing of physicians that people can access? Whether it's in UK or United States or Canada, is there a listing of physicians who are willing to work with people with LDN?
Yes, there are. Some don't mind having their information out there. Others would rather operate under the radar.
I understand.
I do have a list, and if anybody is interested and would like to find a doctor in their area, if they email me, it's very easy. I have a short email address, which is Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org, and I'm more than willing to help anybody wherever they live to find a doctor.
And I will put that on during the show, and I will have it on my website. It doesn't sound like it's expensive. It sounds like the risk-benefit factor is very low risk, all benefit. Sounds like it handles the inflammatory portion of many, many different conditions, which is a beautiful thing. There is indications in what I've read that there are conferences coming up, there are stuff like that that you're involved in.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we had one, as I referred to earlier, last year in Chicago, and for your listeners, if they would like to watch the whole conference, is in separate parts from each speaker. There are 12 parts. If they put in the search bar ldn2013.com, it will take them to a site where you have to pay to watch it. We need to get the money back from the outlay that we spent.
That's reasonable. That's reasonable. About how much is it?
It should be $40, but if they put in the code Jess, J-E-S-S, 2014, they will get 25% off, so it will cost $30 instead of the $40.
Well, thank you so much. You know, that's going to be a beautiful thing for people to listen to.
It's amazing.
And that's a reasonable price, and like you said, it's there to cover costs.
Yes. We have Dr. Pradeep Chopra talking about pain there. We had Dr. Jill Smith. If anybody knows anything about the Crohn's, she's done Crohn's research. She's done two LDN studies with Crohn's. Absolutely amazing, where she's done an endoscopy and seen what people's intestines are like. Crohn's is all ulcers. Absolutely awful. 5 months later, absolutely clear, like the back of somebody's throat.
That's amazing.
Dr. Deanna Windham from the Whitaker Wellness Center, and she explained herself had lupus, systemic lupus. She should have died if it hadn't have been through LDN. But she uses it in her practice for many different autoimmune conditions and with children as well. And I forgot to say, LDN is also used for autism, and a cream is applied to the skin for that, which works really well. Dr. Jacqueline McCandless did some studies with LDN for autism, and she also, her and her husband, did studies for HIV in Mali, which is also a very exciting project that was happening there.
That's interesting.
There's so much to tell you. But so last year the conference was very good, and we had Dr. Birxen talking about LDN for cancer. We had Paul Battle speaking about MS, amongst other things. Dr. Patrick Crowley from Ireland and Dr. Tom Gilhooly from Scotland. It was amazing, and the air was electric. You could actually feel it crackle. It was amazing. And we have another one this year. It's going to be in Las Vegas.
Mm.
We're having a networking party on the 6th, which is a Thursday evening, 7 till 9. And the conference is going to be held over 2 days next time, because really we were all just so tired.
And when is the conference in Las Vegas?
It's going to be November, and it will be the 7th and 8th. Which is going to be a Friday and a Saturday.
I'm going to do my best to come.
That would be amazing.
That would be wonderful.
We would be honored to have you.
Oh, well, we'd be honored to meet you guys. That is wonderful. So we have just a few minutes left. Believe it or not, the hour went rather quickly, didn't it?
It did. I told you I can talk.
No, it's good. You were worried about being able to cover stuff. And I said, no, you'll just do it. Okay. Do you have any parting words, anything that you'd like to give as advice to someone out there who may have a chronic problem, how should they go about investigating whether LDN may be a possible treatment? How should they approach their healthcare practitioner and so forth?
Well, we have an doctor's information pack that we always say to people, you know, print it off, take it to your doctor. They need to research it. I mean, there are some doctors that now have heard of LDN. I think it's a case of if they specialize in a condition, be it fibromyalgia or Crohn's or something, the patients are educating the doctors, you know.
Oh, yes.
Like, you're the sixth person that's asked me for LDN. and they eventually look into it. But I would always say to people, don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody else's word for it. Do your own research.
Of course.
Read up as much as you can and find out if it's something that, you know, you think is right for you.
I want to reiterate the fact that, that the grassroots movement, the patients telling the doctors what they want and what is that the doctor should learn, is catching on. Let me tell you something. The reason I have a lot of physicians who I mentor right now is because their patients have been haranguing them saying, you have to know this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm getting better because of what Dr. So-and-so is doing because he understands X, X, and X. How come you don't? 6 months ago, that doctor would have just said that's not important, and then they learned that it was. Good doctors will look to train. Other doctors will continue to ignore it and you know, poo-poo it away, in which case you change doctors because, let's face it, especially in most areas of the country, especially here in Philadelphia, you can't swing a dead cat, not hit a doctor. Okay, so they're not the only game in town. Mm-hmm. You deserve to be treated well and with respect and with knowledge, and you should demand that your doctors do the appropriate training. Okay, and this is how you bring them the information. Okay, so organizations like Linda's are invaluable because, guess what? Now you have ammunition. Now you have information to say, hey, this might work. Okay, there's no risk. There's only benefit. Let's try it. And if it's helping me, great. If not, you know, no harm, no foul.
Mm-hmm. And I think people should try something sooner rather than later, because things like myself, I've not 18 months on LDN and I was improving, I've stabilized, and prior to that I was deteriorating rapidly. It's a progressive disease, but it's halted the disease. I have now been on LDN, it was 10 years on the 3rd of December last year, and honestly, I have had no progression in that time, and I'm touching wood here because I don't want to talk anything.
You know,
up.
Something, and the bottom line truly is, if this particular substance gets you to a certain plateau point, and even if you had to take it every day, like you said, it's about $1 a day, mm-hmm. as opposed to some neuropsychiatric medicines that are about $1,000 a month. Okay? So, again, even if it isn't the total answer and you have a chronic condition that cannot be cured, it can be managed and can be managed more effectively. Mm-hmm. And you can have a life rather than an existence.
Yes. Yes.
Linda, I want to thank you so much for being on our show tonight and sharing your knowledge and sharing your story, sharing your struggles. You've given me several email addresses and links which will appear on my website. I can't tell you that giving of yourself in this manner, you're going to be helping hundreds and thousands of more people because this will spread the awareness of LDN. I learned a lot myself tonight. I just want to take the time to thank you for your story, thank you for you, and thank you for all your hard work.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Okay. Take care. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.